Welcome back to the Afternoon Jams, brought to you by BestBlackNews.com. On the phone line, filmmaker Loki Mulholland's on the phone line. How are you doing today?
Doing great.
Now, you are the son of the civil rights legend, Joanne Mulholland.
Yep. Joan Trumpower Mulholland, uh-huh.
Yes. Done a lot of work. And you have a new film out. Tell us about your film and what it deals with. It deals with a very important issue.
Yeah. So the film is The Uncomfortable Truth. And it's about the history of institutional racism in America. And it's shared through my family story and with LuVon Brown, who's a freedom writer as well, just like my mother was, and they met back in 61. But my mom was the first white woman he ever trusted, because you have to understand he grew up in the Delta in Mississippi, and she was 11 years old when Emmett Till was lynched. But we go through this journey because my family goes all the way back to Jamestown, 1610. We're one of the original planter elites and served in the House of Burgess. So,
wow.
We still help start the whole thing.
Hmm. Major.
And then my mom comes along. Right? And even though her mother was a segregationist, was the day she died, and grew up in the South, she said, this is not acceptable. That we're better than this, and it'll change the course of our family history.
Wow. How does it feel to have your mom as a living legend who played a role in civil rights?
Well, she's mom. There's a moment where it's like, she tells me, I'm 48 years old, she still tells me what to do. When we were young, it was, she was busy being a mom, right?
Right.
But same time, we knew our lives were a little different in regards to the neighborhood we grew up in was still very white. The people that would come to our house were from her civil rights days in Mississippi, and just our home, even what was adorned on the walls was not your prototypical Brady Bunch.
Right.
We're probably the only house that actually had a portrait of Jomo Kenyatta in the house.
Wow.
And as I get older and stuff, and as I got older, I guess I'm old now, I guess, I don't know, ask my kids. But you start to really realize, the impact that your mom, that my mom had on people's lives and the work and the sacrifice that she was willing to make.
Right.
That today we talk about Black Lives Matter. Well, that's what they were fighting for back then too.
Exactly. She participated in a historical Jackson World War sit-in, and back in 1963, uh-huh. Your mom, along with three other activists, was part of the sit-in at the counter. They were beaten or yelled at and humiliated and called a white nigger and all this stuff, right?
Oh, yeah. No, it went on for about 3 or 4 hours. I mean, John Salter, it was actually the most integrated sit-in. This is the May 28th, 1963. And there's originally three other, 14 people were involved in all. What we see in the photo is just the three of, that iconic photo of my mom, John Salter, and Annie Moody. After Memphis Norman had been pulled off his stool and attacked and Perlita Lewis and Annie, then when they got separated, my mom had just walked in from a protest down the street, picket that they were doing. And she walks in and all hell is breaking loose. And so she joins Annie. And then a phone call goes back to Medgar's office and he's like, this is really going bad. And Medgar wanted to go, but John Salter, who had helped organize this with Medgar, had said, if you go, you're a marked man, you're going to get killed. And so John goes down and ends up being the most integrated sit-in in the movement because John's Native American, even though he appears white. And then you got my mom, who is white, and Annie Moody, African American.
Right.
But there was still this sort of measure of politeness amongst the mob because, my mom got it, John got it the worst. And then Annie, and then my mother, right?
Right.
So by race and gender, right?
Right.
But John, you know, they broke like a sugar bottle and, you know, cut him in the back of his neck and put cigarettes out on the back of his neck and brass knuckles. But, you know, they've spray painted words on him and, you know, this sort of stuff. This goes on for 3 hours or so.
Wow.
And my mom was like, yeah, you know, they just kind of assumed they were going to die.
Wow.
You know?
So your latest film, now it's called The Uncomfortable Truth?
Correct, The Uncomfortable Truth. Uh-huh.
And it deals with, if you don't mind sharing, synopsis, what do it deal with? It deals with white privilege, racism, or what?
Well, it's just flat out just the history of institutional racism. So this is the history of America that we're not told. Again, starting from Jamestown, how this was established, this foundation of racism and the structures that are built on top. So even though, you know, like slavery was, you know, ended, doesn't mean racism ended.
Right.
Right. And the pieces of slavery were rebuilt into Jim Crow and the convict leasing and those sort of things. And then, you know, 64, the Civil Rights Act, 65, the Voting Rights Act. So, hey, all right, you know, everything's good, right?
Right.
Still have that foundation. So now we move into the colorblind society and mass incarceration, law and order, right?
Right.
And so we take you through that entire history to help people understand why we are where we are.
Right.
So why these issues still persist?
Now,
because we've never actually dealt with that foundation.
How do we get a hold to your film?
So the film right now is streams on Amazon. So the Amazon has it on for free actually for right now, and then if you have a Prime account, you can watch it there.
I got that.
Vimeo, so there's on Vimeo as well, we have it available through our foundation's website, at jtmfoundation.org. And our foundation exists to end racism through education.
Now, before we go, Loki, are you seeing a change? You guys have been working on this for a while. From your perspective, are you seeing any type of change?
You know, I'm very hopeful. Yeah. What we're seeing is, I was actually just on the phone with Carol Anderson, who wrote White Rage. We have a podcast episode coming out with her. And her and other, you know, activists from the day as well are very hopeful, because what we're seeing now is that we're seeing white people involved. Racism is a white disease that we always ask, you know, African Americans to cure. White people, we created white supremacy, so we should be at the forefront of dismantling it. It's up to us. It's not going to change until white people start to change. Quite frankly, it could change overnight if we wanted it to.
You know,
because we have the power to do that.
Right.
What we're seeing is so many white people being involved now. And on Amazon, I mean, we're close to 500,000 views on our video in the past, you know, couple months. And I'm getting a lot of messages from people. White people in particular, who are just like, I never knew this. And they really feel lied to. There's this unique confluence taking place with COVID and Ahmaud Arbery, George Floyd, you know, Breonna Taylor. And we're seeing all this. We're seeing the reaction to it as well, the counter reaction from the police, the rhetoric coming out of the White House. And people are starting to figure this out. You know, it's just like this is not the America we want. We're better than this.
So prior to all this, you just, maybe they was not informed. They watched the daily news and kept going. Didn't pay attention to social network.
Well, you know, I mean, people. I mean, it's one of those things where there's a level of frustration that comes with that, simply because how do you not know this, right? I mean, there's all these books, there's all these films, you got the internet, and it's like, well. You know, just because it's there doesn't mean people are paying attention to it. Most people are paycheck away from going broke. So what are you focused on?
Is
survival. And you know, quite frankly, white people just kind of assumed, I just thought it was over. You know, hey, I mean, Obama was elected president twice, right? We've arrived.
Mm.
They don't understand that we're downstream of the past, that the impacts of these policies have built up to where we are. And it's there's no excuse for it.
Right.
But we all live in America, right? We're all fed the same diet. And that's a diet of, you know, maintaining white supremacy. Let's just be honest about it. And when that's what you're fed, what else would you know? So I often say your white ignorance is not the same as their black experience.
Mm. Wow.
And so we need to be willing to go, now that what we're seeing now is like, oh, okay, now that you're informed, now what?
What do you think we should be doing on a local level?
Everything's always local. So I live out here in Salt Lake City, right? What I do here is not going to have much of an impact in Minneapolis or Jackson or D.C. or anywhere else, right? It's the same. Yeah, so the issues are pretty universal, but they're unique to each location. But we should all just be out there holding our elected officials accountable and making sure that what they say is actually what they're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, quite frankly, I'm just like, let's just boycott racism.
Yeah.
Right?
That'd be great.
Let's not fund it.
Right.
You know,
absolutely.
And so that's where it's like, look, our police used to be called peacekeepers, you know?
Right.
They're not doing that anymore. Or peace officers, right? I don't see much peace in that when you're rolling up in tanks with machine guns hanging off your side.
Yeah. Right? You're ready for war.
Right. And when you have that attitude, you know, that's what you project. That's what you get. But, I mean, we got to realize this as well. I mean, you take a look, we're talking about the Jackson sit-in right earlier. So you had the Greensboro sit-in February 1st, 1960. Greensboro, North Carolina, four guys sitting down at the lunch counter. That was local. That didn't impact Jackson, Mississippi.
Right.
Not to say they weren't watching.
Right.
They didn't learn about it. But that didn't change the policies in Jackson. What changed the policies in Jackson was the sit-ins in Jackson. Tougaloo 9 and the Jackson where we're sit-in and those sort of things. The Jackson boycott. The Jackson boycott did not impact New York City.
Right.
And so it's always local. And we need to focus on that and to sustain that and to keep moving forward with that persistence and consistency. Remember, Brown versus Board was in 1954. The Civil Rights Act was 1964.
Mm-hmm.
That's 10 years.
10 years
That's
later.
A long fight.
Yeah.
But look at the result.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Hey, you have a lot of work on your website. Go ahead and give it out, man, so people can see a lot of stuff you've been doing.
Yeah. So the website, JTM, Joan Trump Howard Mulholland, JTMFoundation.org. We have The Uncomfortable Truth. We've got Story of the Civil Rights Movement about my mom, An Ordinary Hero, After Selma, which is about voter suppression, Black, White, and Us, which is about racism through the lens of transracial adoptions. Those are just the films. We have books, curriculum that we're providing to students. We're in it. We're just, you know, continuing the legacy my mother and her friends started.
Wow.
Or continued from previous generations. You know, people ask me, so do you think this is a new civil rights movement? I'm like, it never ended.
Yes.
It just continues.
It's been evolving. Yeah, it's been going on constantly. Unfortunately, we had to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man, we need more people like you, Loki. We need more people like you, man. If a majority were like you, we'd be all right. We'd be okay.
I appreciate that. We just need each other to survive.
Yes.
My good friend Pastor Lynch says.
Yes, that is a fact. Well, thank you so much for being available, and continue the good work. We're going to make sure we go on Amazon. Big Rob and myself, I know he got Amazon Prime. I got Amazon Prime.
Yes.
And
right on.
We're going to type in The Uncomfortable Truth.
Yeah, I think that all the other films are on Prime as well. So, you know.
Okay.
Wow.
Thanks, my friend. Continue the good work, man. We really, really, really appreciate what your mom did back in the 60s, what she continued to do. and what you're doing to continue her legacy, man, in the movement. Can't thank you enough.
Thank you so much.
All right. Take care, brother.
Appreciate it.
Have a good one.
All right. Take care now. Right. You too now.
Right. We hear a lot about racism in America, and to hear it from a white person, man, it's refreshing. To hear someone who want to talk about it, Rob.
Yeah, and don't mind talking about it.
Yeah.
Don't mind, you know, making those uncomfortable statements.
Exactly.
You know, that right there was refreshing. We could talk to him for a couple of hours, couldn't we, Paul?
Oh, yeah, yeah. But he got a lot of stuff scheduled, so I had to adhere to that time.
Yeah.
All right, family.
Yeah, that was refreshing.
Go to Amazon Prime, type in The Uncomfortable Truth, and the award-winning documentary is there. Going back to my music, it's the Afternoon Jams, brought to you by BestBlackNews.com.